Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading, especially the words of the two women who meet. First, Elizabeth, who exclaimed with a loud cry at Mary's greeting, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And also the words of Mary herself, who saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." This is our text. Have you ever had a special visit from a family member or friend that just delighted you? Maybe it started with a knock on the door and then "I just happened to be in the area" comment. Or maybe it was a visit that happened because you planned it, knowing that it had been far too long. We have something like that in the gospel reading today. We witness a happy reunion between two women. They're close relatives, Elizabeth, who's older, and Mary, who's younger. Mary especially was eager for this visit. We're told that she traveled quickly to the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth in the hill country of Judah because she wanted to be there. These two women have news to share. They need each other's encouragement and advice, and they've got a lot of catching up to do over tea and cookies. Now, going into the house, Mary greets Elizabeth. We're not told what she said or how she said it. I wonder what kind of greeting it was. A hug and a kiss, European style. A peek around the corner with a shy little wave. Or did Mary just blurt out the news that she'd been bursting to share? "Elizabeth, Elizabeth, I'm going to have a baby too." Mary visits Elizabeth. But let's not forget about the other two who are along for the ride, the two little buns in the ovens. You know, this is the third week in a row that we've heard about these two, John the Baptist and Jesus. First, we heard about John's preaching of repentance and baptizing. He said that someone greater and mightier was coming soon. Then last week, we heard John's question from prison, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another?" Jesus replied by pointing to his fulfillment of the Old Testament messianic prophecies. The Messiah has arrived. But today we see the two of them together for the first time. These two great figures of salvation. John, who is older by 6 months, and Jesus, who is greater by virtue of his person and his work. At this point, of course, Jesus is tiny. In medical terminology, he's probably not yet even at the fetal stage. Mary, though she's a virgin, had just discovered that she's pregnant, not with a pregnancy test, mind you. Her revelation came by angel. "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." What does it mean that Jesus isn't yet at the fetal stage? It doesn't mean that he's pre-human. It doesn't mean that he's less human. It doesn't mean anything like that. He's already all there, fully human. He's the same Jesus who would one day offer himself as a sacrifice on the cross, only developing through an earlier stage of growth. Before you're an adult, you're a fetus, and before you're a fetus, you're conceived. All of them stages of human life and development. It also means, if we think about our own world, that Jesus at this point in our reading was at a stage where he could have been aborted in Massachusetts or any number of other states, including by chemical abortion pills sent through the mail. His mother might have been vulnerable to smear campaigns warning her about the dangers of pregnancy resource centers. That's how little he was, and how new this was for Mary. But thank God that Elizabeth herself was going through an unplanned pregnancy. She and Zechariah hadn't been hoping for little baby John. They'd given up on that dream ages ago. In fact, it seems like Elizabeth was already in menopause when her husband came back from the temple. His eyes were wide open, but his mouth was closed shut. He couldn't speak. He'd seen an angel as well. And then her husband knew her, as husbands and wives do, and surprise, she conceived. So Elizabeth knows and understands what Mary is going through. She knows and she feels the vulnerability of carrying a life within her womb. She also receives Mary with joy, rejoicing not only over her own pregnancy, but the pregnancy of her dear relative Mary. One thing that occurred to me as I read through this text was the question of how we welcome and receive pregnancy and children. You know, our world doesn't view pregnancy or children as an unmitigated blessing from God, although the scriptures speak of children as a heritage from the Lord. What we find in the world, maybe sometimes we find in ourselves, is nervousness, fear, anxiety. Not only when maybe you become pregnant, but when a family member or a friend becomes pregnant. Why do we feel these things? Why is sometimes our first reaction not a reaction of saying, thanks be to God, what wonderful news, but rather, really? Or again? We also need to repent. We need to repent of viewing children as a burden, or viewing other people, no matter their age or stage of life, as a cramp on our lifestyle. I think I've said it before. I've certainly heard other pastors say it before. You will not get to the end of your life one day and wish that you had more money or that you had more amazing experiences. What you will want with you there are the people you love, family and friends. People are not a cramp on our lifestyle, and children are not a burden. They are our lifestyle. People are what God has put us here for. And I do want to give you one little reminder of how we can show our support and encouragement for pregnancy. One way that we can do it here, fighting against the darkness, is by praying for and financially supporting the pregnancy resource centers that we find in our area, in Fitchburg or Clinton and Marlborough or in Worcester. Mary received the gift of this child in her womb. Elizabeth received a gift of her child in her womb. And when these two women met, when they encountered there on the doorstep of Zechariah and Elizabeth's house, it changed them. It changed their world. Their world now was filled by something new. There was a hidden guest in the womb of Mary that was changing them. Everything that happens in our text today, everything we hear about, everything that is said, is a response to that child, to the one who is present in the womb of the Virgin Mary, to God in the flesh. That little baby, the presence of Jesus makes things happen. And I want you to think about what it made happen there in our text. And notice that as these things happen, it's all actually taking place through the ear. What did Elizabeth say? She said, "When the sound of your greeting reached my ear." How was it that Mary conceived? But the angel giving that very word of God into her ear, and so she conceived. Hearing is so important. The ears are the avenue of faith in the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, Paul says, and hearing by the word of God. And you are hearing today as well. And the same Jesus who came into Mary through her ear, the same Jesus who came as Elizabeth's Lord through her ear, is the Jesus who comes to you now as well, who who would enter into your life, into your heart, through your ears too. So what happened when Mary greeted Elizabeth? Well, the first thing that happened was that baby made a move in Elizabeth's womb. He did a hop, skip, and a jump, you might say. I don't think this was just an ordinary kick. Elizabeth says that this was an amazing thing. The word that's used in Greek is actually the word for skip. You might say that John skipped in his mother's womb when she heard Mary's greeting. And Elizabeth herself was filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus comes into her presence, it is the Spirit that fills Elizabeth. And then Elizabeth exclaims in the Spirit, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." You might say that Elizabeth here is the first one to worship the Christ child. The very thing that we do every week as we gather, and especially this coming week as we gather for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, worshiping the Christ child is what Mary did when he came in the womb of her cousin Elizabeth. And she calls Mary blessed. Why is Mary blessed? Because of the one she carries in her womb. It's not because Mary is so amazing and so great in and of herself, but it's because of the gift that has been given to her, Jesus, who is the source and cause of every blessing in her life and in ours as well. And it is the presence of Jesus, not only in the womb of Mary, but now for us, the presence of Jesus here in the church, that is our blessing as well. God is blessing us through Jesus. He makes us blessed with the gift of Jesus. And that is why we gather in the church, why we're here today. It's why we come so often. Not simply because we like the religious rites and ceremonies. It is because that we believe here Jesus himself is truly and really present for us. Present in his word. Present in this holy sacrament. And he is present to be active in our lives and to make things happen in us and even to change us. I said something along these lines last Sunday, that if there is a cause for joy in us or among us, it is not something we find in ourselves, but the joy that we have as Christians is the joy that comes from the presence of Jesus. That's where Elizabeth's joy came from and Mary's joy. And if we are filled by the Holy Spirit from the presence of Jesus, that comes not by what we have done, but by simply him drawing near to us through his word and his sacraments. One thing that struck me with both Elizabeth and Mary is that neither of them viewed this as something that they deserved or that they earned. You know, when Mary comes to Elizabeth, Elizabeth says, "Why does the mother of my Lord come to me? I don't deserve this. I'm unworthy of this." And yet this is what Jesus chooses to do. He chooses to come. He chooses to visit those who are lowly and humble, for those who know they don't deserve anything more or anything better, for Elizabeth and for you and for me. And then there's Mary. Mary who says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has considered the humble estate of his servant." How old was she? 14? 15? 16? A virgin but pregnant? How's that going to go over among the family and friends? And yet Mary herself sees that God, her Savior, has come. Undeserved, unexpected, but for her as well. Who is this child? Who is the one present in our midst? Elizabeth calls him my Lord, meaning God. Mary calls him God, my Savior, the one who will save me. Micah told us in our Old Testament reading that he is the one who will come from Bethlehem, whose origin is from of old. Or as we say in the Creed, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, with the Father from all eternity. That's who this one is, who comes so small, so hidden in Mary, to Elizabeth, and also to us. The book of Hebrews says that the body of Jesus is the thing that once and for all has sanctified us by the offering that was made on the cross. This is what Jesus came to do. This is why he entered the womb of the Virgin Mary. This is why in Mary he visited Elizabeth, and this is why he comes to you today, bringing the fruit of that salvation that he won, sanctifying and making you holy by the offering that he gave through his own will. He comes to shepherd you. He has come to sacrifice himself for you. He has come to be your Savior. And he is present for you this day, dear friend, brother, sister. Whatever your need is that you have, whatever you might be struggling with or bearing in your own life, whatever joys or sorrows you may have in this moment, he has come for you. He has come for you, and he gives you his joy, and he fills you with the Holy Spirit. And if we don't yet leap or skip like John the Baptist, I promise you this, the day is coming when we will. For there is a day that will come when Jesus will return in glory, and when every eye will see him, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, and the dead will be raised, and we who have been waiting for him and longing for him, oh, we will leap, and we will skip, and we will sing. For now we take up Mary's song on our own lips. We'll sing her song in a few minutes after communion. Her soul magnifies, exalts, and praises the Lord. He is the theme of her song, even as he is the theme of our song. We are happy in God our Savior. We are thankful for God our Savior. We know that we are sinners and we need his redemption, and he brings that redemption to us now. He has earned our salvation. He has accomplished it, and he will bring it soon fully. For he looks down on us in mercy and in kindness. He has regard for our lowly estate. He has come that he might change us, make us his own, bring us into his presence, and renew us for all eternity. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice in the one who comes to you now, just as small and as hidden as when he came to Elizabeth, but just as powerful and strong and saving as he was then. You know that going alone is never easy. Mary visited Elizabeth because she needed the company and support of a friend. It can be a model for us. Don't wait to make a visit, that visit you've been meaning to make. Don't be hesitant to receive your visitor. You can give a note, you can make a call as well, but nothing beats being together face to face. But even more, most of all, we need the visit that we have here today, the visit of our Lord, who, though not yet face to face, is really and truly present for you and for me, who comes in his body and blood, who enters our ear through his word, who comes to our life that we might be changed and be his and have his joy and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.